Hi there, and welcome to the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. We're Alana, Kyle, and Tira, friends who have a heart for intimacy and long to uncover God's truth and design for sexual freedom within marriage. Welcome here. Hey there. So welcome back to another episode of the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. Do you want more of the KS content than just weekly episodes? If so, consider supporting us over on Patreon. Your financial contribution there helps to fuel our mission to bless marriages and shine God's light and love onto topics that are typically left in the darkness. Over there, we have some amazing perks for you guys as patrons as well. And it's only $5 a month. So head over to patreon.com/kingdomsexuality and become a patron today. Now, let's get into the episode.
Well, welcome to another episode of Kingdom Sexuality. Before we begin, let's just read a review. Great podcast to get the conversation started. A 5-star. My fiance and I are about 4 months out from our wedding. We are currently doing the Simbis course at our church and started having more conversations around sex and expectations when we are married. Those conversations have been a lot easier to think about and talk through because we started listening to this podcast. They have great points and reminders to young couples who are excited, anxious, and even clueless about marriage and sexuality. We really love the down-to-earth conversations and simplistic approach they take, as well as a very positive message of sex being a God-sanctioned and very intimate part of marriage. I would recommend this podcast to anyone wanting to learn about sex because this is a positive and safe place to get information. From CC New. Awesome. In the verse for today, James 1 verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And so today's episode is all about perfect gifts coming from above, talking about the storks bringing the babes. Kidding, of course. No, we're going to be talking about all of your guys' questions for pregnancy and postpartum. Mm-hmm. We thought we would do this one now because Alana just had her little baby boy a few weeks ago. How old is he now?
He is 6 weeks old.
6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so we're, you know, it's great. So we have somebody who's literally just been through this whole season. So she's just going to take all the questions and answer them.
We need a male perspective and we need Tira's knowledge of women's health. So that's why we're a great team.
Exactly.
Better together.
All right. So we're just going to go through the list of questions and see what we end up talking about.
Yeah.
So the first question, I love how it's worded. I feel like a house, but my husband has never wanted me more. How to navigate such different levels of desire.
I feel like a house.
So I'm sure you all can understand, one. But
you've never heard that?
I've never heard I feel
I've
like a house.
I've never heard that either.
Usually it's like I feel like a whale. That's the one like I most commonly hear.
No, I definitely have heard that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I wonder where that started. I feel like a house. Like just like you feel so big like your house?
Or I guess
you
it's like, big size. Mm-hmm.
And you have things... people inside your house? like what is it? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's just a size thing, but I like the way that you end with it.
There's a door about to open. Okay. Yeah.
That's good.
Awesome.
This is a good question. I feel like often this is like one of the biggest questions we get around pregnancy is how do we navigate, you know, levels of desire? One thing. Okay, there's a couple things that come to mind. One is the whole spontaneous versus responsive desire and knowing what you are in that aspect. So if you haven't listened to that episode, I'd recommend listening to that because maybe it's one of those situations where you've had – this is the experience when you're not pregnant and then you're pregnant now and it just kind of has exacerbated it. That was – a hard word to say. where suddenly it's like extra, like you're tired, you're nauseous. Like obviously in those seasons, it's like, if I feel like I'm going to puke, no, I don't want to have sex right now. Like that's just kind of a season that you have to go through, in my opinion. Like I obviously you can connect other ways, which we can get into more. But generally when you're pregnant, I feel like this is the other thing that came to mind. It can be really easy to just say no to sex because you're pregnant, to use that as an excuse and as like a fallback of, you don't actually even think about whether you want sex or not. You just are like, well, no, I'm bloated, or I don't feel good, or it's uncomfortable, or where maybe it, you know, might be a little bit, or maybe it's not at all. And you're just using that as an excuse. So I just want to encourage pregnant women, as being one recently, to just check your heart and be like, is this something that I am using as an excuse to not have sex with my husband? And why is that? And just kind of dig into your heart a little bit and see what's going on there. But I think this requires conversation with your spouse to know where your levels are at or how they're handling it. And then to go from there, be like, hey, if maybe actual penetrative sex isn't on the table, because for many women during pregnancy, it's not, due to complications and things going on, what are some other ways we can be intimate right now and still meet each other's needs sexually in that way?
And I think just also addressing, like, she feels like a house. So she's not appreciating her body. She's not liking how things, how she looks, how she feels. And husband has never wanted her more. I feel like this, again, brings back like your heart. How are you actually, are you accepting of your body in its current state? You know, with, for women, you know, our all culture, we're all used to being told skinny, you know, all of that. And then when you get pregnant and you think, oh yeah, I'm just going to be this beautiful, normal self with just this glowing belly and glowing skin. And then you just get all the everything that isn't. And you're like, I didn't think this was a part of it. I didn't think the swollen face and the acne and the, you know, and to just to appreciate that your body can actually go through this. This isn't, this isn't who you are for the rest of your life. This is for a season. And how awesome that your husband still find you beautiful. False by us and like, okay, I'll see you later in 9 months. You know, no, it's not. There is a, he is there as your encourager to be, to say you're beautiful. And us women need to be able to take that compliment and go, yeah, yes, I am. It might not be the beauty of, I mean, the standard of beauty that I thought I would be. But yes, there is, I am beautiful in this season for what my body can do, what we are growing together. So just like a challenge to try to accept the compliments and that he does find you desirable, even if you don't feel like it yourself, but to just accept it, to say thank you for that, for him wanting you. Again, just going, having a thankful heart. And yeah, so I just wanted to address that as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. And I also want to say, don't just assume he's saying that because it's like the right thing to say.
Yes.
Like, choose to believe that he's being sincere.
Okay, so the next question, does sex help induce labor? Always heard it, but I don't know. So the answer for that is yes. Yes, it does. It's supposed to. I mean, the semen has...
I would say it can.
Yes, it can. Yes. There are some studies that have shown that, yes, the semen has prostaglandins, and that can help stimulate contractions, which can help start labor. It's not like you're in risk of going into early labor because of this. It's more like when you are ready, it helps ripen the cervix, all of that stuff. So it's just, it's not like it will for sure help induce labor. It's just, it's another push to help get things going, just like a membrane sweep. It's, it sometimes works, it sometimes doesn't. But yeah, it's definitely one of the recommended things to try. So the other thing too, is reading... if you can, I was going to say, you can, if you orgasm too, it can stimulate more oxytocin, which also brings on contraction. So there's kind of two mechanisms that may work for that.
Yeah, I was reading a study that was concluded in 2019, and it was a study that literally studied exactly this. It's called, I have it here, Sexual Intercourse for Induction of Spontaneous Onset of Labor. And the conclusion was, In women with singleton cephalic low-risk pregnancies, sexual intercourse at term does not significantly increase the incidence of spontaneous onset of labor. But they also didn't completely rule it out. So it's like, that's why I said it can. And it's not going to make things worse. And like you said, you're not at risk of like early labor. Mm. It's like, hey, it might help things get going when you're ready.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. How to stay intimate when sex is discouraged due to high-risk pregnancy. Someone actually DM'd, I think it was on, I don't think it was my personal account. I think it was like our KS account. And they asked this question. They were like, hey, I know you're in this season. I'm also in this season. How are you finding it? Like continuing to, you know, be intimate with your spouse. I know why. It was because it was on the KS account. It's because I had posted the makeout challenge, encouraging couples to make out once a day. Because for us, there was like a similar situation. We're like, okay, how can we, you know, still stay connected during this time? And it's so funny because so often I feel like, you know, people, you know, they listen to the podcast or they see our content and they assume maybe that we have everything figured out. We are experts in this field. And so at one point, I don't remember what, you know, I was a couple weeks postpartum and Jeff's like, yo, we should, you know, do something to be intimate or whatever. And I was like, but we can't have sex. He's like, there's other things we can do, Alana.
It's like, Alana, you have a podcast that talks about sex and all the other things you can do.
So just know that if you are also not sure what to do, you're not alone. Because I was like, but we can't have sex right now. What are you meaning? It's like, oh my gosh. So you can make out. You can shower together. You can use your hands. You can, like, there's like, so many things, just, you know, having conversations, checking in, lying together naked. Like, there's other ways to be intimate when you can't have sex. Do you guys, was there any other ones that came to mind for you?
I think you got it all.
Yeah. I wanted to say, like, I don't think any of our sex challenges are available at the moment because one was Christmas and one was Valentine's. But in there, I always put, you know, one of the foreplay ones. You know, where they are getting things going, it's sexy, but it's not penetrative sex. So wait till we have our next sex challenge and buy that and you'll have some options. No, but also like our United Ignite, we give you daily things for different intimacy. I mean, it's not just always physical, but, you know, every month you'll get 30 different ideas where we have one that isn't sex and then a way to spice it up that sometimes involves sex. But that just gives you so many ideas. You literally have an idea for every of the year if you're with us. Like it's a lot. So yeah, if you want some fresh content, sign up for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even talking to your spouse and saying, what does being intimate right now look like for you? Like, how can we do this together in a way that's going to fill your tank and fill your, you know, your physical needs, if that's, you know, something that's not being met, or whether it's like, you know, more of an emotional or like just like a physical connection, like whatever it is, like what if, you know, normal sex, let's call it, is off the table, what's something that you would appreciate right now anyways? Like, how can we do this in a way, like just making it, like opening the door for conversation to make it specific to where you guys are.
Yeah,
I think would be helpful.
I mean, okay, I'm also thinking you could each write down what kind of intimacy you would like what you were just saying. Write them all on a piece of paper, put them in a jar, and just randomly pick them out. That way it keeps it fresh. You don't know which one you're going to get. And it kind of makes it fun because you're both,
that's a good idea.
Both of your ideas are in there. Something like that. Okay, next one.
Okay.
We're newly trying, and my husband brought up seeing a fertility doc. He's worried we'll have trouble, but I'm hesitant and want to try on our own. But I know there could be challenges. So there's lots surrounding that. being a fertility support practitioner myself, the general guidelines are if you've been trying, it's all dependent on your age. If you're under age 35, generally you should be trying for a year before you go and see a doctor. If you're over 35, within 6 months. So I think it's totally good to try on your own first. The doctor honestly is probably going to ask you. So unless you are intending on doing IVF right away or IUI, like the doctor's going to say, well, have you tried for so and so long? You know? So yeah, I would say enjoy it first. Assume there isn't any trouble and just have fun. Like have that be a part of it first before you go and see, and then use those guidelines for ages on when to go see the doctor.
Tira, take the next one too.
Okay, just started trying. Yeah, I was going to say, but where do we start? I track my cycle, but that's about it.
Well, if you track
all you.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you track your cycle, then you know which days, well, I'm assuming, that your fertile window is, and just have lots of sex. Just keep having sex. if you're really getting into the nitty gritty of like what the perfect timing is and all that, if you do it every other day, that will account for if your husband's sperm count is low, because it takes about a day or two for it to build up enough. So if there's any suspicion of that, then doing it every other day is better than doing it every day. If you don't have any reason for that, just you can have sex every day. I wouldn't do it more than once a day. And be on a prenatal vitamin or something that has folic acid in it already, because it takes 3 months for folic acid to get into your system. And you need that folic acid for the baby within the first, I think it's 12 weeks. So obviously if you, you can see the correlation, you need to start taking it ahead of time. So that's the most important two things. Take your prenatal and have sex.
Specifically the sex.
Pretty straightforward.
Because you're not going to get pregnant without that.
Yeah, that would probably make the baby.
I'm taking my prenatal, but nothing's happening.
I'm just not getting pregnant.
Oh, my heart. Okay. Navigating a lack of libido in the first trimester. Been there.
Yeah, this one's hard because you literally do have hormones that are different and changing, and the arousal may just not be there.
Yeah.
And so again, we kind of talked about this already, but you know, accepting that this is your stage of life for a little bit, it's not who you are. It's not going to be like this forever. And just remembering that there are two of you. I mean, like you and your husband, and the baby. So I guess there's three of you, but you know, be gracious with each other. And just because you don't feel in the mood doesn't mean it's a no.
I'm happy you said that, because I think sometimes the husbands can really be ignored and discounted here. Like, nope, you shouldn't have any, you shouldn't have these desires. Mm-hmm. Your wife's really sick and all these things. It's like, you know what? Like, I agree with you, but just naturally, like, I do have these desires still. I still do desire my wife. And wives, it's not wrong for you to want to serve your husband. But again, want to, don't feel this obligation or this need to, and husbands don't put any pressure on your wives, obviously, but wives don't feel like you, have to do it 'cause you feel bad. It's like, oh, like you're not getting anything. I feel so bad. Like here, you know what? Like I'll give you a hand job. Like one, he probably doesn't want your like pity hand job. And two, that's just such a not great foundation for serving one another sexually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It comes down to the heart posture again, right? Like you're in this together. How can you be together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want to know more about prepping our sex life for third trimester. Husband is larger too.
Be creative.
On our Instagram page, if you go to our highlights, there's a highlight called ATA advice. So we do our Ask the Audience, and in there, one of the highlights is positions for larger couples.
Yeah.
And where you are both larger at this point, it sounds like the husband is a larger individual and you are growing. those positions might be better options for you guys at this point.
Yeah. Perfect. That kind of covers the next one, maybe too.
Fun positions for third trimester other than cowgirl. I mean, honestly, it's whatever position you can go in.
Yeah. Trial and error.
Exactly.
Like, go to the hump day highlight and go through them. And if it works, great. If not, pivot. Try the next one.
And you can have fun doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Try one and go, whoa, that does not work.
Yeah.
It's fun. Making an adventure.
Yeah. But I think having that posture of like, hey, let's just try this. Because I think we can easily get into this zone of like, if something's not working, people are frustrated and you get huffy and it's like, you're not even trying, you know, like you can get into that zone where it's like, okay, no, we're just trying to navigate, see what's going to work, what's not going to work.
Yeah. The next one we've already kind of covered. Why am I never in the mood for sex? I want to want it, but my body doesn't. So I think that's a good place to start. You want it. Mm-hmm. So even though your body isn't aroused, you can still say, hey, I want connection. I'm going to view our intimacy, even if it is penetration, and you're just, nothing's there for you. Think of other things like, okay, I really like how he smells right now. I love how he feels on me right now. I love how he's taking care of me. You know, like you can go through your five senses about the other things, and enjoy each other's presence that way. Yeah. It's not going to feel necessarily the same as it was before you were pregnant. That arousal may not be there, but there are other ways to enjoy your husband.
Mm-hmm. Something I saw recently, I don't know where it was. I don't know if it was the Facebook group or, but one of the things that the wife says, if she's like kind of in the mood, not really in the mood, she says, convince me. Like, how would you convince me right now? Like, what would you do? Or what would we say? Or like, you know, like to help to get me in the mood, what would you do? Or like, what would we do kind of thing? She says that to her husband to then, and then she's like, and then it's always fun because he helps her get into the zone. Yeah.
And there's no harm in trying. Like, the worst thing that happens is you don't get aroused.
Okay. Is it harder to orgasm while pregnant? I don't actually know. I don't know that.
This is probably like a yes and no, depending on the individual and the pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably very person to person, like whether or not. I know some women have said it's easier to orgasm after they've had a baby. But again, that's maybe some people find the opposite. It's probably, I don't know.
If I were to make a guess, I would say physically, it probably isn't harder, but there's so much more that's going on emotionally and mentally.
Yeah.
That could potentially make it harder because of your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good thought.
But I think that I don't know if it would actually be harder in the actual physical aspect.
I mean, maybe
of it,
if it's like you're getting a cramp or you're more easily winded,
yeah,
like in that aspect, then yeah, maybe it is harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is oversharing about my pregnancy symptoms a turn off? Example, hemorrhoids, pain, aches. Kyle, a question for you.
I mean, ask your spouse. Hey, if I tell you about my hemorrhoid, is that a turn off? I mean, so many questions that I get on Thursday Q&A is like, my answer, if I was a bit more of a smart ass, would just be like, ask your husband. I'm not the guy. Why are you asking me? Like, I'm not your husband. Do guys like this? Why does it matter if guys like this? It only matters if your husband likes that. So ask your husband.
Yeah. And maybe ask in a time that you're not necessarily wanting.
Like mid makeout.
Hey, babe. Want to hear about my hemorrhoid?
But I feel like, why wouldn't you want to share about what's going on, whether it's good or bad? Like, obviously, like, would you be keeping it a secret just because you don't want to share stuff with, like, because it's embarrassing or you feel weird about it? Like, you're about to have a baby. Things are going to get weird and stuff after. So
yeah, and husbands, well, if you're not okay hearing about a hemorrhoid, like, that's what Alana said. You're about to see a whole lot more. So, yeah. Hemorrhoids, nothing, buddy.
I'm almost wondering if this question was asked as like hey, if I need to turn my husband off, should I just overshare?
Oh, yeah. The person who asked the first question also asked this question.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a house with a hemorrhoid. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
House has a foundation issue.
Yeah.
Okay, ways to feel attractive during pregnancy. I think one of the biggest things was what we talked about earlier, and that's accepting compliments. Because you have to feel good in your skin. And so, and then do the things that make you feel good. It may be buying a few more pregnancy outfits, you know, that if you've just been squeezing into your, all your pants that used to fit and now they don't, and you're feeling crummy about the way you look, you know, you are going to get bigger. So get stuff that fits and that you enjoy. And that's, you know, this is the one time in your life that you get to wear it. View it that way. And I don't know. What did you do?
And Anna? I found even to thinking, I don't know if this is probably both pregnancy and postpartum, but I found like getting ready for my day and like putting makeup on or doing something with my hair, even if I'm going nowhere.
Yeah.
But it just makes me feel more put together and like I got my life sorted because I at least have mascara on today. Like whatever. I can have spit up on my shirt. It's fine. But, you know, just do something where it's like I feel more like me and like bringing back, you know, who, what do you, what makes you feel great? Like maybe it's like, oh, you know, I just, you know, need to get outside and go for a walk because then I can feel better about myself or, you know, whatever it is. But doing whatever it is for you. Again, very individual. How can husbands physically and emotionally support during this time and postpartum?
I think patience is a big one. Things are not going to be, well, maybe they are, but things can easily not be normal compared to what they used to be. So husbands, just be patient. And just like we've been talking the whole time, like have a heart of service. And yes, obviously this goes both ways, but like, this is a question directed to the husband. So have a heart of service. Like if your wife is having a hard time and she's, you know, puking and nauseous and stuff, like, yeah, you might have to do a little more around the house. You might have to do these things, but don't see it as a burden. Like just see it as an opportunity to serve, right? There's one pastor I love it. He has this line. He says, when it comes to sex, but it can be applied to any part of marriage, but he says, try to outserve your spouse or try to be more selfless than your spouse. And I think this is a great opportunity here. Emotionally support, just ask your wife like, hey, what do you need right now? Right. How are you feeling? Yeah. Go back to the, that was last episode, but how's your mental load? How are you doing? Physically, I don't know. That's going to vary so much based on the individual and the pregnancy.
And I think for women to remember that their husband is not a mind reader.
Yeah.
Like I remember, especially postpartum, when you leave, you get all these pamphlets, right? And so one of the pamphlets is there's like a purple one or whatever. And there's like other ones, different colors. And advice that I got, I think it was after I had Theo, was like, depending on like how you're doing emotionally, like if you're feeling pretty good, like that's great. If you're feeling like, you know, emotionally things are off, you put out this purple pamphlet or whatever. Or if you're like, things are really not good right now, you put out this red pamphlet where you don't necessarily have to like try and put it into words because it's very difficult to verbalize when your emotions are all over the place because you can't really pinpoint why you feel sad or why you feel, you know, right? Because you, like I've had days where I was like, Jeff, I feel like I'm going to cry and I don't know why. So, but to actually either express it with words or if you can't really with words, find another solution to let your husband in on how you're feeling emotionally. Because it can feel really isolating and you can feel really lonely if you're just holding all that, those like postpartum feelings inside. So find a way to let your husband in on that with you.
What about physically, like beyond the obvious, like, hey, you might have to help your wife take a bath or help your wife shower and wash and help her walk around. Like, is there anything physically specifically that husbands could do?
I mean, rubbing feet.
Yeah.
You know, doing like that kind of stuff. Let me give you a rub your shoulders or, but yeah, I don't know, postpartum, even just to, hey, I made this sitz bath for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like where you actually, I did this for you, would maybe be, but yeah, physically. And also during pregnancy, I really enjoyed, so when Jeff would be like, hey, I'm working out, did you want to come? Just as like a wait, and I would be like, oh yeah, actually I do, but I wouldn't have done it otherwise. But it was helpful for me to like, oh, he was gonna do it, oh yeah, well I want to do it too. So I mean, maybe that's not, you know, supporting, but it was for me. I was like, oh, that's actually really helpful that he was inviting me in on that.
But Sam's listening to this episode as we record it, and she just chimed in and said, learn how to tape your wife's belly. So like in my line of work, I use a lot of tape, or I used to use more tape, but everyone's probably seen an athlete wear like the really colorful stretchy tape. So if you can get your hands on it, get like a strip that goes from your wife's, say, pubic bone to like just below her breasts. And if you anchor it at like her pubic bone, give it a little bit of stretch and bring it up, it can relieve tension on like just it can basically work against gravity, so it can just relieve a little bit of the tension, especially in that third trimester when baby's sitting really low, pelvis is really uncomfortable. It can just relieve a little bit of tension. So she really enjoyed that. So if you can get your hands on some tape, most like drugstores have it now, so it's really easy to come across, and I'm sure there's a million YouTube videos about how to do it. So
that's cool. I never really thought about using it for that.
Yeah, it really helped. I can't remember where I learned it or who told me about it, but yeah, super helpful. And there's a bunch of different like techniques you can do.
Yeah.
The research on it's actually pretty bad, but whatever. If it works, it works.
Yeah. Ken would take off my compression stockings.
Nice.
Because I couldn't do it by the end. It was like, this is too hard to get them off.
Oh, yeah. Tying shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Taking off your boots if you're pregnant in the wintertime.
Yeah. But just being sweet, like hold my hand, do stuff that, you know, that's just simple, I think.
Yeah.
And don't just, don't be a dud. Like just be willing, have this heart of service.
Step up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Is it normal for sex to give you pains or cause contractions when you are close to due?
Yes. I remember reading that in like that you get like that bump app or whatever when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
And one of the things that it was saying, especially when you're closer to your, or you're in your third trimester, was that sex can cause like cramping in breasts and hicks for a while after you have sex.
It's from those prostaglandins. That'd be really interesting. I wonder if that would happen if you wore a condom, because then you
get just going to say, what happens if he pulls out?
So that may help.
If you're pregnant right now, do this experiment for us and send us in your results.
Do one without and then one with, because we need comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
That is an interesting thought.
Yeah. And I wonder the depth as well would probably.
Yeah. Or like who's doing most of the work? Like maybe that's why you're in pain afterwards, is because your body is sore because you were doing all the motion, or you were in charge, or I don't know. All right. Postpartum. We talked about like intimacy ideas when you're postpartum. Mm-hmm. There wasn't many questions on like the postpartum. It was mostly pregnancy questions. But someone had said, we'd love to hear about everything postpartum. Everything online is extremely negative. I don't know what to say specifically about it.
I just want to say again, this is a time when I've seen, even in like our Facebook group, even amongst some of our people, it's a lot of, you know, husbands kind of shut up and put up and like just deal with it. And I think that's such a negative way to look at your husband during this period, because yeah, sex might not be an option, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't still desire you that way. And mm-hmm. he doesn't still desire to have sexual intimacy with you, or to have that closeness that, that can be had through sexual intimacy, and sometimes only through sexual intimacy. So don't completely neglect him and his desires. And guys who are listening, like, you're normal for having these desires. Don't shut these things down. Don't turn them off. Don't say, oh, you know what, for 6 weeks I just gotta turn this off and I'm just going into servant mode here. Like, yeah, go into servant mode, but like, do so joyfully. But don't turn off those desires, because there is going to be a day again when you can have those desires fulfilled. And you know what, wives, if you're having a good day, there's no reason that you can't help fulfill those desires, right? We've got oral sex, we've got manual sex, we've got all these other things. And if you're having a good day, like, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Yeah. And I hate seeing this mentality towards guys where it's like, you know what, until she's ready, until everything lines up where, you know, she's perfectly ready and mentally and physically and all this stuff, you know, don't even think about it. Like, really, is that the attitude that we want to have towards our husbands and towards these men? Like, I don't think so. I don't think that's fair to them. So I just wanted to stand up a little bit for the guys, because I think they can get really neglected and kind of kicked to the curb, especially in this postpartum period.
Yeah. Oh, it comes back to the heart posture of the man, I feel like, too. If it
right,
where it depends, like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, like, guys, if you're moping around waiting for that 6 week period, like, yeah, of course, no one's gonna want to, like, be intimate with you. But if you're like being joyful and serving and doing all the right things, and yeah, again, like, don't shut those desires down. And wives, please don't shut your husband's desires down. Yeah. Because that's a beautiful thing still.
Yeah. I found it really helpful when Jeff would, he would like ask, not necessarily, you know, it was just like, not sex, obviously, can't have sex, what are we going to do? But with like in that time where it was just like, he would mention like, whether it's like, hey, we should make out or we should, you know, whatever, but he would initiate it because it just totally wasn't on my brain. So it totally, I would not have thought to you know, see him during that time and be like, oh, he probably, you know, is feeling like our intimacy, you know, the levels aren't as high because obviously we're not having sex right now. It just totally doesn't come on my brain, but it was helpful for me. And then I would say to him, like, keep, like, when you feel those things, like, let me know, because I just don't know and it's not going to be on my mind. So you're going to have to just let me know, because I'm just, my brain's not there right now.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, I love that you said that, because, and I also love like your heart posture of just being open to it. It's like, hey, you know what? Like, it's not going to be on my mind, but when you bring it up, like, I'm totally open, right? Like, just having that kind of heart posture again of service, like, you know what? Yeah, it's not on my mind, but I'm like more than willing to serve you in that way. When things are going great, or if I'm feeling up for it, or whatever.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you're in the super newborn stage, time just like is another thing. Like, you don't remember what day it is, how long it's been. Like, it's just nursing and sleeping and like everything is warped. So I can totally see forgetting, and all of a sudden it's been a while. So to have that the kind reminder of like, hey, I miss us being intimate in whatever way that is, like, can we chat about it? Can we make a plan?
And just some practical things that I remember from the postpartum period, and you guys jump in with whatever you want to add, but like, make sure you get your doctor's clearance or whoever your healthcare provider is. Like, make sure you get that final check and they're like, yep, you know what, you're good to go for intercourse. I think that's kind of like practical step number one. And then, but also, like, 6 weeks is, it's the number that's out there, right? But it's not by any means like a medical standard. It could be less, it could be more, it can be way more. And I think another thing is both spouses don't expect it to just go back to the way it was pre-pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because it's probably going to take some time to get there. It might be a little bit uncomfortable the first few times. You might need more lube. You might like things mm-hmm. might be very different. They might be a little bit different, but it's going to be different, especially for the first little bit.
Yeah. And if, and I'll put it in there that if it is really painful or painful after the first few times and it's like just not getting better, go see a pelvic floor physio, because most likely you have some pelvic floor issues that need to be dealt with. And it's not worth, sometimes I know for myself, it felt like it was super dry. That's what it felt like. And it had nothing to do with the dryness. It was that's the feeling of the pelvic muscles being too constricted. And so you wouldn't know that until you go and see a pelvic floor. You would just think, oh, yeah, it just feels like sandpaper. This doesn't feel good. But it was all to do with muscles. So if it is not feeling good afterwards, go see a pelvic floor physio, and they can assess you and see what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I will pray and close us out.
Good.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the different seasons of life that we get to navigate with our spouse. And we thank you for the seasons of pregnancy and postpartum and how they have their challenges. But it's also just this beautiful time where we get to persevere as a couple through something that we don't normally have to go through. And so we ask just for extra closeness and connection for spouses who are couples who are going through this right now, that you would just give them patience for one another and grace and just so much love as they navigate this time, that they would try to outserve each other and just keep you as a focal point in their relationship and in their marriage. They'd pray for one another and lift each other up as they navigate this time. And so we thank you for the couples that are going through this, and we ask you to bless them. Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like our content, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and tell your friends too. Thanks so much for journeying with us today as we tackled the hard questions and dive deep into godly intimacy. Make sure you follow us on Instagram to see more of our content and check the show notes for any links we might have mentioned in today's episode. We're so grateful to be on this journey with you, and we can't wait to see you in the next episode.